Hello and welcome to the Pig and Whistle Tales from Azeroth. As always here at the Pig and Whistle Inn in Stormwind, I go for a variety of subjects with regards to World of Warcraft. I grab a bottle or a pint, sit back and enjoy this episode. We'll be going over something that's a bit different. And in this dry period of World of Warcraft, we're going to be sort of going through stuff that you could possibly do in your meantime, because we have Cataclysm coming out at the start of summer, I believe, somewhere around that, end of spring, yes, start of summer. And you have the War Within around the same time, maybe a bit earlier than that. So it is kind of a dry period for World of Warcraft, to say the least, with Wrath of the Lich King having no new patches now that Ruby Sanctum is out, and Dragonflight only having Season 4 left, and not a lot's happening in Season 4. Well, obviously there's a bit of things happening, but nothing like game-changing like a new expansion is. So, with that said, we'll get the weekly stuff out of the way. Your world bosses for this week are Lyskanoth, Zakali Elders, and Aerostar, all located in their respective zones, which are Thaldrassus. Zaranlak Caverns and Emerald Dream. Cather Time Walking is your bonus event for the week. This is where you can do Cataclysm dungeons to earn Time Walking badges, and then in earning these badges, you can buy mounts, rep, pets, cosmetic items, stuff like that. Classic Ashran is your brawl for this week. Now, you need 7,500 honor for the Traveler's Trader Log if you ever wanted to do this. It's best to just do Classic Ashran, because it never ends unless you kill the final boss. And killing the final boss is very tough to do. It's a very tough thing to actually do and achieve in Classic Ashran, because there is no timer. People want to do the bonus objectives around the map. You know, it isn't as clear cut as you just simply run in and kill the boss. That kind of deal. It's good fun, though. Very good fun. Entangling, Bursting, and Tyrannical are your mythic affixes for the week. Entangling, if you stand still, some roots will grab you. Keep moving. Bursting, when you kill a mob, it will apply a debuff. You don't want too many of these debuffs. So either kill everything at the same time and pop a defensive, or kill them and don't get more than sort of 5 stacks of bursting. It's not going to help your healer. Your healer will get a healer rage, and you're not going to be liked in that group. And Tyrannical, the bosses and the mobs that they summon have increased damage and health, so make sure you bring a talent build that accommodates for that. Now, this dry period of WoW, it's very awkward. It's the longest dry period in WoW that we've had since probably Shadowlands. Probably around Shadowlands, like Xerath Mortis kind of deal. Patch 9.2, I think it was. Yeah, something like that. So all dry patches in World of Warcraft are not fun, but they still have added, throughout the years of the game, so many ways to indulge yourself in the game without having to do higher-end content. So these are a few things that I can suggest that might help with this period of WoW that, you know, isn't as exciting as when a new expansion comes out or something, or a alpha or a beta comes out, you know, stuff like that. So, guild events are the first one. This one's mainly for Wrath, but there are still guilds in Classic, obviously. No, in Retail. What we've been doing as a guild on our Wrath of the Lich King, like, Classic World of Warcraft, is we do our weekly raids, but we're mixing it up. We're doing a multitude of other things. So, we have done mog runs. We have done, mount runs. We have done, like, PvP after the raid, stuff like that. You have a few things that you can do, and I would suggest doing, like, a transmog competition with your guilds in, like, Retail, stuff like that, or, like, a hide-and-seek, maybe, like a questionnaire. You can do many different things with regards to it, and, you know, you could do sort of tournaments. So if you kill 50 of these mobs and then kill 50 of these, you win, or, you know, that kind of deal. So it allows people to get creative and to figure out what to kill, like, quickly, essentially. These are the sort of guild events. They don't have to be anything exciting. I say that. Not anything, big is the word that I meant. They, like, can just be exciting, being very small events. They don't have to be, like, big in their own right at all. It could be very small things, but the thing is, you enjoy the time with the people that you are doing them with, so your guild members, rather than like it has to be something immaculate and bigger than, you know, everyone else in the guild and all that shit. No, it can just be very small things that help you enjoy the game. So guild events are definitely one thing, and like I said, they don't have to be big. You can do stuff out of the guild or out of World of Warcraft with your guild events. That way you keep that sort of closeness with the guild at the same time, with not everyone taking a break and then some people not coming back to WoW when like you have to raid and stuff like that. So there's always this option. Mog runs for retail and classic now, because Cataclysm will bring out transmog. So Wrath of the Lich King, you want to start building up your transmog collection. Now, this can be done in many different ways. You run old dungeons, old raids. The PvP, the level 60 PvP gear, will be going away in Cataclysm. It will be locked behind a certain attribute. So the best way to do this is buy it right now. Buy the level 60 PvP gear, the Grand Marshal's like gear. It doesn't cost a lot. It costs about 6,000 honor per piece, something around that. And you can keep it as a transmog. These transmogs are very good. They're very, very good and, you know, enjoyable to use. But saying that at the same time, you want to keep older things. So greens, blues, epics as well. But these are all going to be your transmog, so start saving your bank space for it. If you are a transmog heavy player, like you really want to change your look up every week, because these are something that you're going to be, it's better to do now than rather than when the transmog comes out, because that way you're already ahead of the game, if that makes sense. Gold farming. Now, gold farming is one that you think, oh, I naturally just get a lot of gold anyway. Yes, but in terms of gold, at the beginning of an expansion, it's very, very important. And the reason it's important is because professions. Everyone does professions towards the late game of the expansion. This includes, you know, every single profession, but mainly the stuff like alchemy, engineering, blacksmithing. All of these have their own unique ways of making gold. But the materials, such as the minerals, the herbs, will cost a lot more at the start of an expansion, because there's less of them. There's a more demand for them, but less of the actual product. So having the gold to buy these materials comfortably, and, you know, being able to level up your professions and get to the highest profession level, will help you actually make more gold in the long run. So if you make gold now, therefore, you're not going bankrupt when you are making your gold later on in Cataclysm, if that makes sense. It's the same for retail World of Warcraft. You can also gold farm. Now, it is a bit tougher in retail WoW, purely because of how inflated everything is. But if you're looking to buy WoW tokens or anything like that, it is a very good way of making gold right now, especially on Wrath of the Lich King, because the tokens aren't as crazy in terms of pricing. So gold farming, you can go kill mobs, you can sell silk, you can do professions. I know people who just do professions. They log on to 7 alts like once a day and they just do a transmute, like a gem transmute, and they put it on the auction. They make about 1k from it each day, and that adds up. Like, over a month, you'll get 30k, nice and easy. Like, and they take like 5 minutes to do all of that. It's really not that tough at all. The only time it takes longer is if your PC can't log in fast enough. That's the downside of it, to be honest. But gold farming is a really good way to, or good thing to do during this dry period of WoW, because it's something that you're going to need throughout every expansion that comes out, throughout every patch that comes out. You know, gold is quite important. It's not something that you have to bank your life on and throw your life away, but gold is relatively important in the game. It is the currency. It helps you buy certain things, and if you're lazy, sometimes buy an item or two, you know, if you're just feeling a bit lazy that day for like an ult or something like that. Now, this one kind of goes under the radar, but people forget about it. Level your alts. Some people have loads of alts in Wrath of the Lich King, in retail, that they haven't leveled. They're like, oh, maybe I'll get round to it, and it's just sitting there. You know, it's a poor level 14 gnome hunter. Don't level it. Like, what's the point in having it there if you're not going to level it? If you're doing higher end PvE, if you're doing higher end PvP, it's good to level these characters because you understand how they function. And if you understand how a class functions, then it's a lot easier for you to understand how they do their damage and what you can do to fuck up that damage so that you try to avoid it. You know, that kind of deal. Like, if I cyclone someone on an Arcane Mage's Burst, like, I don't know that Arcane Surge is their burst damage. Like, why would I know that if I've never played a mage? But I do. I've played a mage. I understand how Arcane Mages work. I understand how Frost Mages work, how Fire Mages work, you know, all of that. And pretty much every spec, apart from probably the tank specs, apart from, you know, Guardian Druid, because I play a Druid. So, like, Blood DK, no idea. Is it Vengeance?
Let's take a quick break.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At the Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
The Havoc? Can't remember. Vengeance Demon Hunter, I think, is the tank spec. Prop Paladin, you know, all of that stuff, I don't really know. But no, I played most of the classes and I understand how they work, and it is a good thing to do. If you ever look to try and get higher level in your play, it's good to understand how all of the classes work, do their damage rotations, what defensives they have, what everything they have essentially, that they have to use against you and to counteract what you do. In a PvP scenario, it's very useful, certainly. In a PvE scenario, it's very good to understand how they do their damage rotation and what they are looking for in their damage. So are they looking for groups like split up, or are they good at AoE? Are they good at single target? You know, depending on the talents. It's very much, you can decipher all of this just by playing the class itself and getting used to it. But in Wrath of the Lich King, it's more useful now than ever because you might want to start finding your alt character for Cataclysm. Now, I do have to say that Cataclysm changes the dynamics of classes a fair amount, with mastery being added, and with more sort of quality of life stuff, we'll say, because you have the eclipses for boomkins, you have more defensives for certain tanks, you have more AoEs for certain tanks, you have a better rotation for certain tanks and DPS and healers and stuff like that. You're not just spam Holy Light as a Holy Paladin or Flash of Light as you did back in Classic. You're not just a press swipe when there's loads of enemies as a Balanced Druid, a Feral Druid, Tank Druid, you know, that kind of deal. There's a lot more to it rather than just spam all of that stuff. So level your alts in Wrath and try and decide what you want to alt in Cataclysm. Look it up, and there is a lot of fundamental changes. So Elemental get lava, as I like to call it, and that is essentially where you can throw meatballs, your lava bursts, and they can overload, so you can get two meatballs, so you lava burst, and then it copies the lava burst for 50% of the damage and does another lava burst. For Shadow Priest, you have Shadow Orbs as a sort of currency, or a, not a currency, a utility thing. What is it? Power bar? What? It's not a power bar, but it's essentially like soul stones that warlocks get in Cataclysm, where you have three and they regen with certain abilities and stuff like that. So you get that in Cataclysm for Shadow Priests. Boomkins, like I said, get Eclipse. Mages get different spells like Flame Orb. They get Time Warp now, which is really cool. You know, there's many different things that you can do and learn about your classes before Cataclysm comes out to give you the best shot at enjoying your classes in Cataclysm when they do come out. Taking a break. Now, this one's going to be a bit weird to hear, most likely, but you can take a break from WoW. It is a very dry period of WoW. You do not miss out on much if you take a break. If you're looking to do a rank 1 push or a glad push at the end of the season in Retail or Wrath, you know, just keep an eye out on the dates for them, but you can take a break. It is healthy to take a break. It allows you to rediscover that enjoyment for the game sometimes. If you've been playing it non-stop for years and years, and you feel like, oh my god, this is such a drag now, take a break. Take a 1 or 2 week break and come back to it, and you will enjoy it a lot more than what you left it as. I promise you that. I really do promise you that. It will be so much better than like just powering through it, because eventually you'll hit that wall and it'll be like, oh, this game's not fun anymore. And then you'll miss out on a lot of content when a new expansion comes out or something like that. And then it's, you know, that patch might have been the patch that, you know, gave you life back into the game or something. You know, it's that kind of thing. This is another one for leveling, actually, just going back a bit. Try out expansions that you haven't. There's some people that I know started in BFA, or expansion to start in, if you ask me, but it is what it is. You start when you start. Experience other expansion levelings. So when you're leveling in alt, start with classic. Although classic is Cataclysm, technically. But, you know, you start with classic, and then you go to Burning Crusade leveling, then Wrath of the Lich King leveling, and then Mr. Pandaria, because you did classic slash Cata. And then, you know, go to Warlords of Draenor. Because all of these leveling experiences are honestly the best thing about the expansions. If you look back on every expansion, TBC leveling, you went through Hellfire, Zangarmarsh isn't great. But, you know, the leveling experience wasn't bad. Wrath of the Lich King, it was good fun. You had a couple of places to choose from. You jumped from place to place. You weren't stuck in, you know, one zone like you were in Burning Crusade. Cataclysm, it's not great, but you get to experience the world as it, like, is and how it transformed, essentially. And you've got your major capital cities still. So you've got your Ironforge, your Stormwind, your Darnassus, your Orgrimmar, you know, all of that, your Thunderbluffs. Like, you get to experience leveling on the continents that started it all. Mists of Pandaria, very good leveling zone. Actually, probably one of the best. It was the first one that kind of introduced story. Cataclysm kind of did, in terms of, like, cinematics and stuff. But Mists of Pandaria really honed in on that a bit more, I would say. But, you know, Warlords of Draenor, for all the shit it gets, the leveling isn't bad. The leveling's one of the best parts of the expansion. And that's saying something, like, in a really shit expansion. It was some of the best work, to be honest, that they've done in a leveling expansion. In all honesty, it isn't as bad as people remember it. And then you go to Legion. Legion was so good. You get to pick where you go. Each zone had its own, like, storyline, all of that. And then BFA, again, not great, but a whole pirate themed with, you know, kind of witches in, on the, I've forgotten the place of it. You know where the Waycrest Manor is. I've completely forgotten the name of it. But you have Tirith's Guard, you know, real pirate themed and upbeat. And then you've got for Horde, the Zandalari, which are really cool lore wise. And then you go to Shadowlands. Again, Shadowlands wasn't great of an expansion, but the leveling experience and going through the zones and figuring out the Covenant abilities and getting them was amazing, because you started off in the Kyrian and you're like, oh, there's an Anima Drow. Why do you have to deal with the Anima Drow? What's happened? And then it's like, oh, okay, we'll have to go to Maldraxxus then to, like, figure out why that is. And then you figure out, oh, Maldraxxus is kind of, you know, having a, not a domestic, it's a civil war, that's the word, or words. And then it's like, oh, shit, okay, so we've got to hop over to Ardenweald to figure out what's happening with all of that shit. And then you end up in Revendreth, and then that's where it kickstarts the endgame content, where it's like, oh, shit, he's funneling all of this anima to this certain, like, location, you know. And, you know, the story and leveling is actually really good. Take some time to, read through the quests, is what I'm saying, because some of them are absolutely amazing. People put so much effort into actually doing the quests, putting the text in there, putting the storyline behind it, laying the foundations to everything, and it's very much overlooked. It's something that I overlook as well, and I'm very guilty of it. And to be honest, I want to do a bit more of that, like read the quests when I'm leveling and certain things like that. The last one that I'm going to suggest is to try something that you're not comfortable with. PvP / PvE. So, PvP-wise, if you are a PvP-er, try some mythics, try some raiding, you know, try normal dungeons or anything like that. Absolutely anything PvE wise that people would do, like the Farrakh assaults, or, you know, the community like pot in the Tuskar village, you know, just experience some of that stuff. It is good fun every now and again. The super bloom in the, like, what is it, in the Emerald Dream, you know, absolutely anything like that. But PvE is, try PvP. So much fun. It's such a different experience both ways. It goes both ways. PvP and PvE, completely different experiences. But you can pick up something from each of, like, the different genre of game types. So for PvEers, if you try PvP, you understand how people react in terms of defensives, how CC is useful, how kicks are useful. I do, like, very low mythics, very, very low mythics. I see people who don't use a kick or a defensive, and it's like, why are you not using this stuff? Because it is part of your kit. It is part of your, you know, character, and you're just not using them when it should be used. And that infuriates me, because it's like second nature to try and kick something when, like, you're playing the game and stuff like that. But, you know, some PvEers just don't understand the use of it. And I think that's where maybe the introduction lets them down. I don't know. But they just never saw a use for it, essentially. For PvPers, you get a use to how to do your damage rotations, like, really properly. If you're doing well on CC, but you can't secure a kill on a target in PvP, PvE is definitely the way to go, because although you do take different talents, technically, to get the most out of your damage, you can take the same, like, in lower mythic keys. And you can just practice your damage rotation, like, on big packs and big pulls, because you don't have to worry about CCing anything. You don't have to worry about, you know, like, running away and staying alive and stuff like that. You still do, to an extent, but not as much as, oh my god, I've got a rogue mage chasing me down, my team are in CC and I've got to run, you know, that kind of deal. So there are benefits to trying out each of them, like, together, but please try them out. Again, all of these are stuff to do during the dry period of WoW. There is loads more, such as battle pets. I've, like I said, mog runs, but you can just do achievements. You can literally just try and figure out achievements and finish, like, some achievements and achievement hunts, stuff like that. But there's so many things to do in WoW during dry periods. It might seem like there's nothing to do, but there is a lot. And I encourage you to try and look for them, is the best way to, like, say that, essentially. But that is it for this episode. Thank you all very much for listening. As always, do check out all of the socials. Stuff is constantly happening on there. TikTok, YouTube, Twitch, everything's happening all the time. But thank you all very much once again, and go with Valor, friend. Goodbye, all.